Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
It's amazing to me how I can read a scripture and suddenly something stands out that never captured my attention previously. And that happened recently in one of the most read and familiar passages of scripture that's marked up in my Bible, and that's in John 15. And sure, you're aware that John 15, the first 17 verses are all about I am the vine and you are the branches, and the whole notion that we draw our life from Jesus, that whatever's going to happen in terms of the kingdom is going to be occurring because we're deeply connected to Christ and his life is flowing through our lives. That's a magnificent thought. It definitely goes back to the teachings of people like A.B. Simpson and Ian Thomas, who talked about this great reversal where we lay down our life in order that the life of Jesus can be lived out in us, that we actually can experience his presence and his power moving through us. Those are great thoughts. Well, we'll get back to that. But what grabbed me is really this phrase, I am the true vine. Now, here's something I'd never spent much time thinking about. If Jesus is the true vine, he must be saying that because there are, in fact, false vines. There are sources of life that we can connect to that really do not lead us to kingdom life. And so I began to think about this issue of the fact that, well, probably a significant period of time in my own life, I was connected to a false vine, a place where I was trying to gain security or purpose, significance, maybe safety, belonging, that probably promised to give me that, but in the end, didn't give me life, but in fact, drained life from me. So I began to think about that, the idea of a true vine and a false vine, and I started to go into the scripture to see, well, if Jesus is going to tell us here what the characteristics of a true vine are, then maybe we can assume by that what some of the characteristics of a false vine are. So I began to spend some time with the idea, and I thought I'd share some of my thoughts with you today here on Sling Stones about the notion of the true vine versus the false vine. And so we begin here. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Now, the first thing that sticks out to me about being connected to the true vine is that it's very relational. Jesus uses the word Father. He's emphasizing the notion of an Abba, a deep, abiding, intimate relationship with God is one of the characteristics of the true vine, something intimate. Well, Jesus introduced that theme when he taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, didn't he? Our Father who art in heaven. And then when Jesus was teaching about the key to ministry in places like John 5:19 and others, he said, I only do the things I see my Father doing. And then he tells this wonderful parable of the prodigal son, which is far more about the prodigal father than it is about the son. So I want you to think about this right now with me. When we are connected to Jesus, this is a relationship. That would mean that a false vine would not be relational, but it would be transactional. We've talked about transaction before, and it's not a complex concept. The idea of a transaction is that there are different commitments made between two entities. In a transaction, there's something I have that someone wants, and there's something they have that I want, and we make a transaction. So I have a man right now who is painting the house. I wanted to see the farmhouse painted. That was my desire. He wanted to make money. That was his desire. So we got together. We made a little contract. We did a little transaction. And certainly I treat him kindly, and he's certainly treating me kindly, but there isn't a relationship that is essential to him painting the house. And that's the notion of a false vine. A false vine is always going to be transactional. It's going to want something from you. You're going to want something for it. And you have to have some kind of a contract between the two so that you know what you need to do to get what it is that you're requiring, and vice versa. A true vine, it's about relationship. God is drawing us into relationship. Back to those words, I've been using them so much this year, the words of St. Ignatius, that the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to know him more intimately, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more clearly. That's all about a relationship. And so Jesus is telling us right off the bat that as the true vine, we enter a relationship with our Father. He then goes on to say that the Father, he is the gardener. And the next characteristic, he says, is he cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Now, to some degree, that sounds rather harsh, but if any of you either has fruit trees or a garden, you know the importance of pruning. Just last night, I went out and I staked up my 6 tomato plants, and I took a pair of clippers and I began to prune those branches, if you will, on my tomato plants that are not going to bear fruit. Why do I do that? Because they drain life. That doesn't translate into nice, healthy tomatoes. Well, what Jesus is saying is a true vine involves pruning. And pruning means that we're going to have to eliminate in order to concentrate, and that God is actually the one that's going to do the eliminating. And he does it through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he looks at issues in our lives. And he challenges us to lay it aside because it is not going to bear the fruit that we want in the kingdom. The fruit is what? Well, kingdom values, kingdom virtues, kingdom mission. Now, I'm a very busy person, and quite frankly, I look at it and see there are some things that I'm doing that I'm not sure actually contribute to kingdom values, kingdom virtues, or kingdom mission. Like what? Well, maybe some of the things that I watch on television. Just the other night, Cheryl and I were watching a series that we were somewhat enjoying, and all of a sudden it started to go in a direction that was definitely not kingdom value and kingdom virtue. And we both said, you know what? We can't go forward with this. We're not being prudes, if you will. It just doesn't bring life. And so there's a pruning that needs to happen. That's a characteristic of the true vine. Well, what's a characteristic of false vine? Well, the opposite of being pruned is not being pruned, but I'm going to use a different word, and that is it appeases. A false vine appeases to our inner appetites that are far more based on our old nature before we came to Christ than they are based on the new nature of who we are in Jesus. Think about that. We can be connected things that seem, that seem to bring a certain degree of fulfillment and satisfaction, but it's often very short-sighted. It often doesn't last. And it often ends up in a lot of our energy going to things, again, that do not bear kingdom fruit. The true vine is relational. The true vine is going to involve some pruning in order to be more fruitful in the issues of the kingdom, virtues, values, kingdom mission. A false vine is transactional. It's only there to make a deal. And it will often appeal to your desires to actually lead you astray. That kind of goes back to that phrase that Alicia Chollet used in one of her books when she said, Satan's lures are aimed at human longing. Satan wants us to spend our lives in that which will not be kingdom fruitful. All right, let's look at another characteristic. It's crystal clear in the scripture that one of the things that's true about abiding in the vine is that it's foundationally about love. Love, deep love, true love, self-sacrificing love, nourishing love. I have over and over again thought about this scripture that comes in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain in my love. The love of God is the house of God. And when we return and when we repent, that wonderful word that we've looked at before in the Hebrew, teshuvah, we come home to the house of God's love. His love is powerful. His love is transforming. His love is never self-seeking. His love yet never uses power for personal gain. And that's, again, a characteristic of the true vine. Conversely, if we begin to think about what a false vine would be, it's not only transactional, it not only appeals to our, if you will, longings to draw us away from God in a very appeasing way, but a false vine is never really deeply about the sacrificial nature of love. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you that a false vine always promises benefits, promises blessings, but they come at a great personal cost to us. Think of all the individuals that are investing so deeply in trying to fulfill some of their deepest longings, but in the end, it only steals them. If you go back to that illustration that I use with Alicia Choli, it's about a lure, and with a lure, we think we can control it, but in the end, we can't control it. It controls us. And so it isn't about love. It's about something appealing to a deep selfishness. Well, if you look at the issue of a true vine, there's three things that it seems to lead to. If we are connected to Jesus, knowing that it's relational and that we will be pruned to bear kingdom fruit, virtues, values, mission, and that it's all about the house of love, this leads in our part to three things. One, surrender our lives in obedience to Christ. Obedience not as a way of making us secure, but because we are secure, we then want to live in Christ. That's part of what's being said in 1 John chapter 3. Those that are born of God will no longer sin. It means that in the house of love, there are new desires and new motivations, and one of them is to, in a worshipful way, live a life of obedience to God in light of this relationship, this opportunity for kingdom fruit, and the deep love of the house of God. We become obedient. Another word is we begin to sacrifice. Jesus talks about greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know, I'll share something personal. 4 years ago, when I began to consider bringing Mom and Dad here to live in town, after years of us not being in the same place, this text the Lord really gave to me, that there comes a time in which you lay down life as you know it because of love. And so I realized there were some sacrifices I needed to be willing to make. I had to lay down. In the end, God used it to bring great healing into my life. But I didn't see that back then. But that's part of the way of the kingdom, isn't it? There will always be a certain degree in which the kingdom calls us not only to a life of obedience as a response to the wonder of what God has done, but to a sacramental life, a sacrificial life, a laying down sometimes of life as you know it. Maybe right now in your life, there is a way in which you're living life that God is saying, I want you to lay that down. Why would he do that? Well, part of the relationship we have with him is a relationship in which we're willing to be obedient. There is a third thing that I think this leads to, and that is it leads to joy. It leads to joy. Jesus talks about that here in this passage, that as he calls us to love one another, suddenly he says, my joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. Complete joy. I find joy hard to navigate as to how to understand it. I used to have an acronym for joy, J-O-Y, Jesus overwhelming you. I think there is something to that. Joy is Jesus overwhelming us. But Jesus promises us that as we abide in him, as we're connected to the true vine, we have an intimate and growing relationship with God, the Father. And he will work in our lives so that we will eliminate in order to concentrate, that our lives might bear kingdom fruit, values, virtues, mission, that it'll be a life of love, abiding, remaining in Christ's love, and it'll lead to obedience and sacrifice and joy. Well, what would be true of a false vine, a vine that is transactional, that appeals to our base desires, a vine that is very selfish? Well, I think, to be honest with you, it can lead to a life of either license or legalism. We either think that we can do whatever we want and it's no big deal when we're not living according to the virtues and values of the kingdom, or we become so legalistically bound that we want to make sure we're doing everything that is right and don't do anything wrong, because if we do, we'll be insecure with God and we then won't have the blessings that we so desperately want from God because we have a transactional relationship with him. Well, that's wrong. But that's one of the characteristics, I think, of a false vine. I think a false vine also, instead of it being our desire to sacrifice, I think instead we begin to build bigger barns. You remember that parable Jesus told of a man whose life was being required of him, and he decided to build more barns, bigger barns, that he could keep things in, that he could hoard more. And I think there is a degree to which a false vine, a source of our lives that is not flowing out of the kingdom, influences us that we need more, and it needs to be bigger, and we need to hoard it for ourselves rather than laying it down for others. I have a friend, his name is Ron Adams, he's a pilot, and he called the other day, and he was talking about this man named Stan Brock. Stan Brock is a man in his early 80s. He used to be known on television because he was on something called the Wild Kingdom, Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom. And he talked about Stan Brock has laid down life as he knew it to start remote area medical. And since 1985, he's been taking medical teams all around the world, including here in the United States, in order to see people that do not have access to medical care receive the care they need, and they receive it free. But to do this, Stan basically had to lay down his life. So it wasn't about gaining more popularity, gaining more fame, gaining more possessions. Instead, he sacrificed. Well, that's not characteristic when it's a false vine. A false vine is always going to promise you that there is a right for you to have bigger barns, less sacrifice. I think that a false vine promises in the end happiness, in the worst sense. I think happiness, as we understand it, isn't simply laughter, and it's certainly not joy. It has to do with momentary satisfaction, short-term gain, long-term loss. Now, I've had to look at my own life recently as I went to this passage of Scripture and realized that Jesus is suggesting there can be false vines, and asked the question, where in my life have I attached myself in such a way that it's become transactional, appealing to my base desires in a way that is really more appeasing, about selfishness, where it leads me either to license or legalism, where I am wanting to build bigger barns, and that all I have is momentary happiness. And wherever that is in my life right now, I want to go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me lay this down. Because the true vine is Jesus. And he tells us here in this text, the true vine is about a deep relationship with our Heavenly Father, who will in fact prune us because he loves us. Maybe right now God's challenging you. He is me in areas where he's saying that's just not going to bear fruit. Prune them. And if we say yes to the true vine, all of a sudden it will lead to a desire to walk the life of Jesus the way Jesus walked out that life. To be willing to be sacramental in life, to give. And in the end, what we find is pure joy. I hope you experience God's face shining on you. It's a good day to remember that God loves you, and the source of Christ's life can flow in and through you. That's the promise of the kingdom. God bless till we're together again.